Today is Tuesday, September 12th. We're going to be starting on page 43. That is histology. All right, so there are four major tissue types that we're going to cover today and on Tuesday. These four major tissue types are epithelial, connective, muscle, and nervous tissue. I've abbreviated them up here for you as ET, CT, MT, and NT. Collectively, when we study tissues, we say the study is called histology. So a histological exam would be a study of the tissues. We're going to break them down. We're going to study the epithelial tissues first. And that's what starts there on page 43. All right, so when you're thinking about epithelial tissues, what are some descriptors that come to mind?
Skin.
Skin, good. What else? I think of coverings and linings. So body parts that need to be covered, body parts that need to be lined, are covered with epithelial tissues. If you have a hole, it's lined with epithelial tissue. Nose holes, mouth holes, ear holes, go to the other end. Rectum, urethra. Both females and males have, a urethra, but females have a vagina. All of these holes are lined with epithelial tissue. So if you need to have a surface covered or lined, it is epithelial tissue. So pretty much anything that contacts the outside world is going to be lined and covered with epithelial tissue. That means all of your skin is epithelial. That means your holes are also lined with epithelial tissue. So how do you spot epithelial tissue if you happen to be given a slide? Good. Always look for an apical surface and a basement membrane. So let's talk about what we mean by an apical surface. Apical surface means the apex surface. Apex means the top surface. The top surface is the surface that comes in contact with the outside world. In this picture, the apical surface isn't attached to anything else. It's the free surface. It's the one that you can touch if this is an epithelial tissue like skin. Our oldest cells sit at that apical surface. They are at the apex of their lives. They are at the oldest they'll ever be. So when you lose cells from your apical surface, you're losing the oldest cells or the deadest cells that you have. So what does basement say to you? What does that ring? What does that sound like?
Bottom.
Good. So the basement is actually a membrane that connects your epithelial tissue to something else underneath. And you're right, bottom is a great way to think of the basement membrane. So if this wasn't labeled with a basement membrane in this picture, what is the signal that we've now entered a different tissue type?
Texture.
Yeah, it looks different, right? So, you'd probably be right to just simply guess and say, the cells below this layer right here look totally different down here. And if you were to say that's probably a different tissue, you're going to be right. There's a transition to a different tissue type, and normally this is going to be a connective tissue. Most of the time, epithelial sits on top of connective tissue because the word connective means to connect. So that's just a good rule of thumb to remember, is that epithelials cover and line body surfaces, those open to the outside world, those holes that we have, and then underneath they're connected to an underlying connective tissue. Are you so far so good? Okay. Can you spot the apical surface in this picture? Up top, right? Okay, so it's almost cut off in this picture, but that uppermost layer is your apical surface. And this one actually has down way below. This is your basement membrane. This is like the sole of your foot. You know how the sole of your foot's got really thick skin on it? All of this stuff is dead packed skin cells, and this stuff down below is the living cells. So it looks like it's two different tissues, but in fact, that down here is your basement membrane. So these tissues don't have a direct blood supply. They are avascular. And the word A, that prefix A, tells you what?
Without.
Without, yeah. So vascular means what?
It has
blood flow. Blood flow, right. So A, of course, without vascular blood flow means no blood flow directly through these tissues. I don't want you to think that that means there's no blood getting to these tissues. There is blood getting here. It just has to diffuse up from this connective tissue layer through these top layers. This, in reality, this picture here is about paper towel thickness. I know that's hard to believe, but when you're talking about diffusion rates, the thicker the tissue, the harder it is to diffuse to the top. So these cells near the top don't get a lot of blood. That means not a lot of oxygen, not a lot of sugars to keep them alive. So these topmost layers tend to die. The bottommost layers are getting the diffusion of blood and oxygen, things like glucose, so they tend to stay alive until they get too far from that source of a blood vessel down below. So the good news is, if you happen to nick yourself, on the skin, I'm obviously not breaking my epithelial tissue here, because what would you see? Blood. So as long as I'm scratching my epithelial tissue, I should not be bleeding. But if I cut hard enough with my fingernail and start bleeding, now you know I've cut down into the underlying connective tissue where there's blood vessels. So if you shave, if you get a paper cut, if it bleeds, you've probably cut down to the underlying connective tissue.
This picture, you said this picture is of the foot.
It's probably a foot picture.
So that's the bottom of the foot at the top.
That's right.
And this part goes to the bone, like that connects to the rest of the leg.
Yeah, keep going down. You're probably in the...
coming up this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're right, not even to the muscle tissue or the bone yet. We'd have to keep on going further down on this picture.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see, like is the hand, so the white part that's the basement would actually be more on this side, because this is the bottom. This is the apical surface.
That's your apical surface?
Yeah, so it's like if it was like this.
Yes.
So the bottom basement would actually be the top, which is the back of the hand.
Let me give you an example. If I had a hole puncher and I hole punch somebody's hand, then the hole punch, like if I had my hand like this, I'm punching from the top down. That's the surface here. And this stuff is, if I were to go peeling back layers, it's deep to that superficial epithelial tissue.
Yeah.
So if I kept going down, I would be hitting muscle and bone underneath. So yeah. I'd eventually get to your right to that side.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, the next thing we want to note about our epithelial tissues is that they do have a nerve supply. We say that our skin and our other epithelial tissues are innervated. And you know this because you can feel heat, you can feel cold, pressure, pain in your skin. In fact, in the inside of your body, you can also feel these things. Anywhere epithelial tissues are found, you've got these sensors that let us know what's going on. You know, your tongue's got epithelial tissue on it. We constantly replace those cells on your tongue. You know, if you've burned your tongue, that you have to replace those cells and get new nerve connections, a new nerve supply connected to those epithelial skin cells. So no direct blood supply, but we do have innervations, which is a nerve supply heading to those epithelials. All right, so about halfway down page 43, just a note of where you may find some of this tissue. Skin is a great example of epithelial tissue. Any body cavity that opens to the outside world, such as the lining of your lungs, is epithelial. Where urine forms in your kidneys, that's also epithelial. Endocrine and exocrine glands also have epithelial tissue. The basic rule of thumb is if the body system has an external opening, like your digestive system has mouth and anus, that entire system is lined with epithelial tissue. Your kidneys have an external opening through the urethra. That's also epithelial tissue. Your respiratory system, from your nose all the way into your alveolar air sacs, all of that is epithelial tissue. So if you simply say, well, if the body system opens to the outside world, it's going to be lined with epithelial tissue, you're going to be right. What about reproductive system? Males and females, do they have an opening to the outside world? Yeah, what are they lined with? Epithelial tissue, yeah. So any opening to the outside world, that system is going to be lined with epithelial tissues. So that may help you remember all those locations when it's time to, you know, study that for lab. All right, so epithelial tissues have two things in their name. They have a specific name that includes the number of cell layers and also includes the shape of those cells. If we're talking number of cell layers, we usually say that a single layer of cells is called what?
Simple.
Simple, good. If you have two layers or 50 layers, you're called?
Stratified,
good. And we know there's exceptions, we'll talk about those. Let's talk about the cell shape.
If cut through your skin in a certain way, we can actually get a squamous cell to appear. And how should they be drawn? Smooshed flat. Yes, squashed flat is oftentimes what people say, squashed like squamous. And if you can't really see the cell shape, you may be able to see the nucleus. How does the nucleus look in a squamous cell? Flat. Okay, so use that as an additional clue to confirm that you've got a squamous cell. Those nuclei are squashed flat also. I love science when it makes sense, right? Cuboidal cells are cube shaped. And their nucleus has room, so it's round, just like a basketball. And then what are long, skinny epithelial cells called?
Columnar,
good. And because they're tall and skinny, their cells have a nucleus that matches the shape of the cell. Those nuclei are also going to be elongated, kind of like a football standing on end or an egg standing on an oval-shaped nucleus. Okay, so I caution you to not go out on the internet and just take any picture and print it off and use it as a study guide, because sometimes if they take a sample of squamous tissue from the top layer, like we just peeled a layer of skin off, those squamous cells actually look cuboidal if you look at them from the top down. When we're talking about skin cells, like your epithelial tissue in your skin being squamous in shape, they're taking a side view. So they've gone deep into the tissue and peeled it that way. So it's the way the sections are being taken that dictates what shape we actually see. So you can worldly confuse yourself if you just do a Google image search and use any picture as your study tool. So that's why I would stick with what we've given you, because in that way you're knowing that this picture is stratified squamous or simple squamous or whatnot. Having said that, I also want to mention that when we look at tissue types, we're looking for the majority to kind of fit the mold. If most of your cells look columnar, it's columnar. If most of your cells look flat, it's going to be squamous. So we're not looking for 100% to be perfectly fitting into one category, just looking for most of them to fit, you know, one or the other. The reason that we go with the majority is because when we look at a tissue, they're using a little teeny tiny blade to cut the tissue into a very thin slice, and it's not possible to get a perfectly thin slice. It only shows the right cells. They get sometimes multiple layers, and it makes it look like it may be something else. So we're kind of having to be a little flexible when we're using these guidelines to name our tissues. Just a reminder that when we name these tissues, we're looking at the number of layers first, so simple or stratified first, followed up by the type of cell that you mostly see there, so squamous, cuboidal, or columnar. How you doing so far? Any questions? Anything I can clarify so far? Okay. Just something to add to our conversation at the bottom of the page. Tight junctions, gap junctions, and desmosomes are actually features of epithelial cells that help them stay hooked together. So let me mention tight junctions first. Tight junctions are junctions between cells that prevent water from passing through. So have you ever soaked in a swimming pool or a hot tub or bathtub for an hour or two?
You didn't get out and weigh 50 pounds more, right? Thank God. Okay, so why did you not swell up with water? It's hypotonic, right?
My skin is keratin.
Am I saying it right? You got it, yes. Skin has got keratin, and also skin has these things. These are tight junctions that are in your skin cells. So if you take a soak in a bathtub for an hour, you don't have the fear of getting out weighing, 5, 10, 20 pounds heavier from extra water. Your skin is not going to let water come between those cells thanks to these junctions and to that keratin. So think of this as welding spots. It glues one cell to the neighbor so tightly that water cannot pass through. And that works both ways. You do not want water getting in, nor do you want it getting out, because you don't want to get dehydrated just from having been in a hot day with the sun shining on you. Some cell junctions are called gap junctions, and they're pictured here. You remember protein channels, right? Okay, so these are like protein channels between two adjacent cells. And if these are open channels, what can travel between the two cells? Ions, sugar, yep. So if you want items to pass freely between two neighboring cells, you hook them together with these gap junctions. Gap implies that there is an opening or a hole between those cells. So let me give you a way to kind of think of gap junctions. You know, hotel rooms sometimes have the adjacent door, the scary door. If you don't know who's staying there, it's scary, right? But if you're traveling with friends and family, that's fine because you can open it up and now you have a suite. That's a gap junction. So the doors open, food, fluids, electrolytes, whatever can travel between those adjacent cells. The last type of cell junction is called a desmosome, D-E-S-M-O. That prefix means band or ligament. Okay, D-E-S-M-O, that prefix means band or ligament. Have you ever participated in a three-legged race? They fall, you fall, right? They run, you run. Whatever that neighbor's doing, you're doing too. That's what desmosomes are. They're hooking together cells, so whatever one cell's doing, the neighbor's doing it too. And the good news is, this helps to keep our cells stretchy. So if you think about your epithelial cells in your elbow, for instance, you know, sometimes your elbow bends and that skin has to accommodate for the bend in your arm. There's desmosomes hooked together those cells, so when one cell is pulled, the neighbor kind of stretches with it. And of course, when your arm goes back, keeps those cells all linked together. If you've ever been really dry or even sunburned, have you noticed how your skin comes off in layers or sheets? Thank you, desmosomes, because they're the reason that skin is coming off in layers or sheets. They link those cells together just like a three-legged race. Okay, so there's some up there. So I just wanted to mention these types of cell junctions, their relationships between cells and our epithelial tissues. Which of those three is an open doorway between neighboring cells?
Gap
junctions. Which type of junction prevents water or fluids from passing between the cells?
Tight
junctions, good. And what type of junction allows for just a little bit of stretch in those skin cells?
Desmosomes,
good. All right, so if you feel good with this page, we're going to head over to page 44. You could also print this page and cut out the pictures, and there you have yet another set of flashcards and those pictures. I'm going to start you with the top one there, simple squamous epithelial tissue. Let me also mention that something you've learned in lab, the difference between a general tissue type and a specific tissue type. There are four general categories: epithelial, connective, you got it, muscle and nervous. So when we're looking at the name simple squamous epithelial tissue, like this here, what is the specific name?
Simple squamous,
good. To keep yourself straight, you may want to use a flashcard, print a picture like this one. On the back side, write general, put epithelial or ET. Specific is going to be simple squamous. That way you constantly remind yourself to keep those straight. You will lose lab points on your exam if you flip-flop those general and specific categories. So you really want to make that part of your study habit for Tuesday. This is a very low power of lung tissue, and it doesn't look like squamous cells to me. I'm sure it doesn't look like it at all. These are blood vessels actually traveling through the lung tissues. Here's another one over here. And what we're looking at are squamous cells that make the lung air sacs. These are lung alveoli. They have to be thin-walled because diffusion of gases occurs across these very thin air sacs. You know how thin they are? They're as thin as a soap bubble. So that's a football field of very thin-walled tissues, these little air sacs inside each of our lungs. That's a lot of tissue that we're dealing with for gas exchange. So here you can see, again, you know, these tubes in here, these blood vessels that help to transport gases. And if we zoom in, you can start to see the nuclei a little better. They're the dark spots in these cells. If I continue zooming in, you're going to see an even better shot. Like I mentioned earlier, we're not looking for a perfect picture. We're looking for one that mostly has a single layer of cells. And that's more or less what I'm getting here. The best example we have of simple squamous is lung air sacs or alveolar air sacs, but where else can we find this tissue? Blood vessels, capillaries. Okay, so anywhere you need gas exchange to occur, you've got to have an extremely thin layer of tissue. This one fits the bill because it is how many cell layers thick? Just one, yeah. And because they're squamous, how are they shaped? They're flat. And unfortunately, this is not a picture that really shows you flat squamous cells. This is one of those pictures you just have to look at and say, okay, I'm going to memorize this one. This one is simple squamous epithelial tissue. All right, so you've got a blank there for number of cell layers. It is one. Notice the functions, filtration, which means fluids traveling across or a set of membranes. Diffusion happens very easily across these single-layered cells. Secretion is like when we secrete mucus or oils onto our skin. This type of tissue also can reduce friction or abrasion. So if you think about the fact that it's single-layered means that it's best built for having items move across it, like filtration or diffusion. So if you think about where it's located, the function is a little bit easier to remember. I just want to caution you, if you search the internet for simple squamous and don't put any parameters in like, you know, I'm looking for lung air sacs, you're going to get just anything and everything pop up. This is simple squamous, but it's a top-down view. So it looks nothing like squamous cells. In fact, what do they look more like? Yeah. So just, you know, word to the wise, just be careful what you do out there on the internet in terms of pictures. That is simple squamous, yeah, but it's a different view. It's a top-down view.
Would that be on like one of our exams?
No way. No way. We try not to mess with you guys. We would give you something that looks like this.
And that was simple squamous?
It is, but don't worry about it because it's just, I'm just showing you that the internet's full of lots of things that can mess with you. So just be careful if you do a search for it out there on the internet. Stratified squamous is probably one of the easiest ones to spot because it has many what?
Many layers.
Many layers. And the topmost layers, the apical surface, has the truest cell shape. Are those apical cells the oldest or the youngest?
Oldest.
They're the oldest. They're the most mature cells. Where are the cells reproducing through mitosis? Basement membrane. So if you look at the basement membrane and I look at the nucleus shape there and I match it to my picture, I might be confused and say, oh, that looks like what? Columnar. So when you've got a stratified epithelial tissue, always look towards your apical surface. That's where your oldest, truest cell shape is going to be located. So if I look near the top, whoa, all of a sudden those cells and their nuclei flatten down. So that's how this is named. It's actually by the topmost layers, those apical layers on this tissue. This type of tissue is going to be located where there's lots of abrasion. Why?
To protect.
To protect, right. If we had simple squamous on our skin surface, if I ran my fingernails up my arm, there goes your tissue, right? You'd be bleeding. So by having multiple layers on our skin surface, you're right, you do protect the underlying layers. And like I mentioned earlier, this is really all no more thick than a piece of paper towel. So it is thick, but in terms of protection, it's what we need. Do you notice the apical surface in this picture? Where is it located? At the top. Beware, on lab test, they will just flip the slide or the thing upside down. So don't always think it's got to be at the top. They will rotate that slide on you. Okay, it could be left, it could be right. But the clue is there's a free surface there. There's white space next to that apical surface. Okay, this picture also has the apical surface near the top. We did this one already. It's got a basement membrane right here. This type of tissue is called specifically what? Epithelial tissue, good. Its general name?
Epithelial
tissue. So its specific name is what?
Stratified squamous,
good. So don't get those two flip-flop, right? Epithelial tissue is the general name. Its specific name is stratified squamous or squamous. Okay, and where do you find this one?
Skin,
great example, right? Okay.
And the bottom layer is connected.
This bottom layer is connective tissue, yeah, all of that down there. In addition to skin, where else do you find this one?
Inside
your mouth?
Holes.
Wherever the holes are, that's right. And, you know, you can let your imagination go wherever, but there's abrasion at these holes, right? Food coming in, it's going to abrade the hole coming out. So, you know, it's rough. It's, you know, you've got food particles in there that rub against these outermost layers near the apical surface, and they carry away the dead skin cells. So these openings on either end that have to deal with food coming in and food going out, they're stratified squamous. So anywhere you get a lot of rub, abrasion, you need protection, you're going to have these types of tissues. The bad news is, you know, oftentimes that's where food or other toxins contact our tissues, and that's where people get cancers. You know, we have oral cancers from smoking. We have rectal cancers from where, say, toxins in our food sit in the digestive tract. So that's why, you know, these areas oftentimes get cancers is because they're exposed to those nasty things in the environment. General tissue for this one. Epithelial specific type. Good. And this one is not keratinized, meaning there is no protein covering the outer surface of this tissue. Skin is keratinized, but inside our bodies is moist, and so there's no keratin on those surfaces. Think of keratin as a waterproofing protein. It is meant to keep the tissue dry, and the only dry tissue we have is skin, outside. So those holes on the inside are not keratinized. And there you can see the keratin. Hey, where's the apical surface here? Yeah, good. So that free surface is here. I know you can't see the cell shapes. These are dead skin cells. They are packed very tightly. They're probably on the surface of a hand or a foot, and the basement membrane is actually over here. And we'll talk later about why it's not just a straight, smooth membrane. There's a reason that it's got these hills and valleys, and it has to do with connecting the epithelial tissue to what?
Connective.
If they were flat together like this, what would happen to them?
Flexible.
I wear a shoe, it rubs a blister, and there goes my epithelial tissue. Yeah. So if you lock them in like an egg crate, you can wear a shoe, you may get a blister, but your skin's not going to fall off, right? So there's a reason that all of these pictures have this convoluted bottom edge. It is all about hooking your epithelial tissue to the underlying connective tissue. All right, let's see what else we got. And we've done this one before. So
in that picture, how can you...
apical surface, yeah. Tells me it's a epithelial tissue. That's right. Oh, that one was. So if you saw this one.
What she said?
That one was on our quiz Tuesday. Or one very close to it.
If you saw this and I didn't tell you what it was, how would you say, bingo, that's epithelial?
Keratin.
Yeah, there's keratin, there's apical surface, there's a basement membrane here. Yeah.
What is keratin?
It is a waterproofing protein.
How can you tell in the picture?
It makes a thin outer layer, and it usually is packed tight on top of these cells. Like this picture, most likely some of this outer stuff is keratin. We're not going to ask you about keratin in a picture. So, yeah, don't worry about identifying keratin. You starting to see a trend with stratified squamous? Okay. And obviously it's different from any other epithelial tissue type because it's got sometimes 50 to 100 layers of cells there. We're not going to see that in any other epithelial tissue type. All right, so let's talk about simple cuboidal. First off, where's the apical surface? Be careful. That cilia, yeah. These little hairs are cilia. They are on the free surface or the apical. Well, it looks fuzzy, right?
Like fur.
Like fur, yeah. And they're doing this, right? And they're moving something along, whether it's mucus, it may be sperm, it may be eggs. So they're sweeping something along. This is your basement membrane, and this is probably connective tissue it's hooked to. Okay, look at the nucleus shape. It's mostly round in these cells. That's another great clue that we have simple cuboidal. And most of these cells look somewhat square in appearance, so that's what helps me say this is not squamous and it's not columnar. You're probably going to see pictures like these on lab tests, right? This is how simple columnar often exists, is in tubes. So these are tubes in the kidneys, and all we've done is we've just taken a layer and shaved it off. And you're looking down into what are basically some tubes in your kidneys. Do you see the apical surfaces of all those tubes? There it is there, inside that tube, inside all these tubes. And do you see the basement membrane?
Yeah,
the circle.
The circle, yeah, the outside circle. And between the apical and the basement, how many layers of cells do you see? Just one. And most of those cells have what shape?
Cuboidal.
Good. And if the cell shape's not convincing enough, you can always use the nucleus. And it has a mostly round shape. So squamous isn't round, columnar isn't round.
So that's
simple cuboidal. That's right.
In the kidneys?
In the kidneys. These are kidney tubules.
That's like answering.
It does. Reminds me of drinking straws that we're looking down on. And here's another one. Interesting, these kidney tubules over your lifetime will deteriorate. That's why kidneys tend to work less efficiently as we get older. You know, young people have pretty functional kidneys, but by the time people make it into their 70s, 80s, and 90s, their kidneys lose efficiency. These tubes actually don't replace and they deteriorate. So they're gonna just, you know, become less efficient. So that is not the only thing that is made up of simple cuboidal. Some of our glands are also made up of simple cuboidal, like sweat and oil glands. They're a little harder to see, but one of the best things you can do is look at a set of kidney tubules for simple cuboidal. Okay, so far. How many cell layers are in a simple columnar tissue? And is simple columnar the general or the specific name? Specific name, good. And the general category is? Good. And the way to spot this one is to look for its?
Columns.
Columns, good. All right, so this is a villus, which is a finger-like extension in your intestines. And what I'm looking at is a layer of cells going up and around and coming back down. And inside of that is probably a blood vessel and some connective tissue. I wouldn't think of this as a stratified tissue because between the apical surface, which is here, and the basement membrane down here, I see mostly one set of cells. So I know you look at this and you say, I see stuff jumbled in the background. That looks like it's stratified. True stratified columnar tissue has stacks and layers, just like bricks stacked one on top of another on their long end. So we kind of have to go with the majority here, and that's mostly elongated cells with oval-shaped nuclei. What are these goblet cells doing here? Mucus, yeah, secreting mucus. So they are common in other epithelial tissues. You oftentimes will find them scattered among pictures like these. So these strange looking hollow spots are actually goblet cells making mucus. So don't say, I see a goblet cell, it has to be simple columnar, because you may have a simple cuboidal, for instance, that has a goblet cell. So I wouldn't necessarily say, gotta be simple columnar if you see goblets. Do you see the cilia in this picture?
Yeah.
Looks fuzzy, right? Okay, and that's at the apical surface, and your basement membrane is right through here. And this stuff over here is some connective tissue. And between my apical and basement, I see mostly a single layer of nuclei. Okay. So where might you find ciliated tissue like this?
In the nose.
Probably somewhere like respiratory.
Like tracks.
Tracks, yeah. Like reproductive tracts may contain some of this. You're mostly going to find non-ciliated in say digestive systems, because we've got muscular movements that propel that food along. But sometimes these simple columnar can be ciliated like we just saw. All right, so when you see these, how do you know this is not in fact a stratified columnar tissue? You've got one apical surface, one basement membrane, there's a single layer of cells in there. There's a lumen, which is an open space. Here is another apical surface up top and another basement membrane, and they are not stacked together. There's a space between those two. So this would be something like your digestive tract maybe, and we would have food coming through this lumen or open space.
And
that's a simple columnar. Now, to be specific, where in your digestive tract might we find this?
In the intestines.
Intestines, good. Where else?
In the rectum.
What's that?
Would it be in the rectum?
Not in the rectum, because there's a lot of abrasion there from food traveling out. That's stratified squamous. Stomach, yeah, would have it. Parts of the liver and gallbladder have it. Those tubes will have this as well. So, if you keep in mind that if you're asked to give an example for simple columnar, keeping in mind that this is often in the digestive system gives you two examples, stomach and intestines. All right, so lots of really pretty pictures here of simple columnar. This is low magnification simple columnar, and every one of these finger-like extensions is covered with a layer of simple columnar cells. So that, in fact, is small intestine. Feel pretty good so far? Okay. Pseudostratified is next. The pseudo prefix means what?
False.
False. So what is false about it? It's not layered, right? It is not stratified. It truly has how many layers?
One.
Just one layer. Okay, so this is a low magnification. Let's zoom in for a higher one. Where is the apical surface?
At the top.
This time it's at the top. It happens to be ciliated, and the basement membrane is right through here. Okay, and so normally I would count and say, well, between the apical surface and the basement membrane, I should expect to see a clean single layer of cells. And I see a jumbled up mess. I see nuclei down here. I see a jumbled layer here. It looks like another one up here. But in reality, every single one of those cells touches the basement membrane. So even though it looks jumbled, it in fact is a simple tissue. It is a single layer of cells.
It's kind of like a sheet.
That's pseudostratified. Yes. All kind of randomly associated, yeah. And here's another one. So if I'm remembering that simple columnar has two digestive examples, I keep in mind that pseudostratified has two respiratory examples too. You'll notice that they're in the nasal cavity, the trachea, the bronchi. Okay, so first off, how do you know that this is an epithelial tissue? Yeah, apical surface, good. Got a basement membrane right through there. And secondly, how do I know these are columnar cells? They're long, yeah. And I have really two options. We're only learning two. We're learning simple and we're learning pseudostratified. If it was simple, those cells would look pretty much lined up. Let's get a pretty one. Like this, we've got nuclei sitting side by side. My other option, of course, is going to be pseudostratified. And how do the nuclei look arranged and pseudostratified? Jumble, right. In reality, every cell touches the basement membrane, so this is not truly stratified, but rather a simple tissue, one cell layer thick. Okay, so where's two places you can find this one? Nose and nasal cavity, trachea, and bronchial passageways. Good. And in those locations, they happen to be ciliated. What does the cilia do? Move stuff. Yeah, sweet. Good. All right, so I think if you look at enough pseudostratifieds, you get kind of get a feel for their pattern, which looks like it might be multiple layers, but you can see why people would name it as a falsely stratified tissue. And our last epithelial is transitional. It's at the very bottom of your page. Transitional makes it sound like it's in a change. It's in motion. And so it is a type of tissue that can change shape. It'll mess with you. Because our rule of thumb is to always look toward the apical surface for the truest cell shape. And so in this picture, where is the apical surface? It's at the bottom, and up top is our basement membrane. And I know that stratified squamous is multiple layers, but these apical cells don't look flat. How would you describe the shape of these cells at the apex? Kind of square, kind of columnar. What does the nucleus look like? What else?
Our circle, so would it be cuboidal?
It's not.
They're all different.
It's a mixture, yeah. So we don't call transitional squamous, we don't call it columnar, we don't call it cuboidal, we just call it transitional. Because it looks like, you know, everybody's got a different answer, right? It looks like it's in this process of changing shapes. It's got a stretch. Yeah, see, here's some that are flat. So if I'm keeping in mind that simple columnar is digestive and pseudostratified is respiratory, I keep in mind that transitional is urinary. And that gives me two examples. That gives me ureters, and it gives me urinary bladder. See how we made that so much easier, right? Okay, so you've got three systems there to keep straight for what tissue type they belong to. So in your urinary system, what does your bladder do? It stretches, right, to hold urine. So when it stretches, these cells have to make sure they go along for the ride and don't rip, because God forbid your bladder rip. So these cells have to stretch and then reform back to their original shape. So transitional tissues are found in places where there needs to be some stretch, some change to that tissue. That is transitional too. And the reason I know it's not anything else is because I don't see clear layers. You can't tell what it is. Yeah, it doesn't look like squamous. It really doesn't look like cuboidal or columnar. Yeah. How do you feel so far about our five? I mean, we got six epithelial tissue types.
Way better than the last
one. Okay, good.
Way better.
Well, hearing it twice too also helps. Just for comparison, and I encourage you to print pictures and lay them side by side and convince yourself you know the difference. Can you tell me which of these pictures is transitional? Yeah, and this one, see those pretty flat cells? Yeah, that's stratified squamous. So I would take anything that confuses you, lay them side by side until you can convince yourself you know them apart.
That's stratified squamous because
yeah, because, well, and these cells look like they're all flat. Mm-hmm. Even though the cell nucleus looks a little round there, it truly is a flattened cell. All right, and transitional versus pseudostratified. Transitional and pseudostratified. So what is probably the thing that stands out at you as a difference?
The columns.
Columns. Yeah, these are long cells in the pseudostratified, and the transitional cells look like it's a mess. Yeah. Okay, so just for the sake of comparison, I thought I would show you this. This is stratified columnar. We're not doing this one in here, but I wanted you to see it because it, in fact, has a layer of cuboidal cells and a layer of columnar cells, and that looks different from anything we've studied. It kind of confirms for us that when you see pseudostratified, you are seeing, you know, jumbled, long, column-shaped cells. And just for fun, oh, that's not one there. That one is for fun, right? Okay. Why don't we do a little bit of connective, and that way we'll have less to do on Tuesday. I would rather get through as much as we can to help you out on Tuesday's test. Okay, so connective tissues are found on page 45. They have no free surface, no basement membrane. Their job is not to cover, line, protect our bodies, not in that fashion. Their job is to do other things, which is connect, support. Other tissues have a matrix, but where we really focus in on it is here with our connective tissues, and I'll show you what a matrix looks like in a moment. You're going to hear us talk about fibers, all sorts of fibers here, and these types of cells called fibroblast. Have you ever made Jell-O, or has anyone ever made Jell-O for you and dumped in a can of fruit cocktail? Mm-hmm. Got stirred in? Okay, so I want you to think of, when we're talking about a matrix, I want you to think of Jell-O and the fruit cocktail mixed in. And then look at this picture. This is bone, and the bone, the hard part of your bone, is like the Jell-O. It's these rings that you see here in the bone. And the fruit cocktail that you dump in is actually living cells in your bone called osteocytes. And so there are these dark spots scattered all throughout this bone tissue. So the matrix, the Jell-O, is actually not living. It's something that your body secretes, and it puts it here in this tissue. But the living cells that are embedded here maintain that tissue. So it's kind of weird that we have these non-living components, like the matrix of bone, but we have these living cells that are kind of like they're the maintainers of that tissue. They're the gardeners, so to speak, of that tissue. A lot of our types of connective tissues do contain fibers, and the first blank on your worksheet is collagen or white fibers. By the way, Jell-O is actually from collagen that is from meat products such as bone or hooves or other things. Yeah. So, but yeah, that if you cook collagen or white fibers, that's that number one blank. I do want to make a comparison to Jell-O, because how would you describe the consistency of Jell-O?
Semi-solid,
right. Then when you've got collagen in a tissue, it makes the tissue somewhat semi-solid, a little bit liquid-like, a little bit solid, but it loves to attract water to it, so it makes that tissue somewhat spongy as well. So collagen is great for keeping water hooked in with your tissues. And if you've ever cooked a roast, whether it's pork roast or beef roast, you know, later on, when you put it in the fridge and get it back out again, it looks like there's jelly with it. That's the collagen that broke down and it attracted water, and it did in fact make jelly or Jell-O. Gross, yeah. So. Now we know too much about our food. Whoops, wrong way. Okay, elastic or yellow is number two, and reticular is number three, and I'll show you some pictures. So collagen fibers tend to be big, thick fibers. They are easy to spot because they are big, thick fibers in our tissues. The second type, their elastic fibers, are exactly as their name implies. They're stretchy, and they will sometimes look squiggly because they're elastic. They are tinier and thinner than our big, solid steel cables of collagen fiber. Those elastic fibers do give flexibility to certain tissues. This picture shows a lot of elasticity, a lot of squiggly fibers here. So you're going to find elastic fibers in tissues that need to stretch.
I have a question.
Sure.
All elastic fibers aren't squiggly like that, are they?
No, because if you take the tissue and you stretch it out, then they become straight.
Okay, so tell me one more thing. How could you, when it's straight like that, how do you tell the difference between the elastic fibers and the reticular fibers?
See these strands here? They're straight. They're straight, stretched out elastic, but they're tiny and thin. This big fiber back here is collagen. Yeah, so collagen's always gonna look like a big cable, where elastic fibers look like tiny strands of hair, whether they're squiggly or not.
Okay, so what about the reticular fibers?
Yeah. They, in most pictures, like, let's go back for a moment. What's that?
Spider vein.
Spider vein, that's a good way to put it. They take a particular stain, and they did not stain this picture to make reticular show up.
Okay.
So they have to use a stain for them, and that's a great way to put it. Spider veins, I have heard rose branches, like of a rose,
okay.
You know. Yeah, and they'll have a branching appearance to them. Some people say they look like grapevines with, you know, grapes on them. But the branching is probably the dead giveaway that you've got a reticular fiber. The weird thing is they're also made up of collagen, but they're not meant to be strong steel cables. These are meant to be more like supporting fibers. They're branched off and they support the tissue.
So all the ones that look like branches on them, that's reticular?
All of these, everything in this picture is reticular, yeah,
okay.
Except for the fibroblast.
Right.
Yeah. Those are fibroblast.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. Making things connect. We have a little more time to do it. Yeah. Let me give you a moment to jot down cell types 1, 2, and 3 in order they are blast, clast, and sites. Number one is blast. Blast grow or build a tissue.
Blast break.
Blast grow or build.
Yes.
Clast, are destroyers. They break down tissues. And sites are mature cells. They what?
They just hang out.
They've been there, done that. They're retired. Yep. Blast, grow, clast, break down. Sites are just hanging out.
You said immature or mature?
They're mature. Sites are mature cells. The thing to remember is not that you have to identify them in any picture, but that the prefix tells you what we're doing. Osteoblast means we're growing what? Bone. Osteoclast means we're
breaking down.
Osteocyte
is a
mature cell. Yeah, it's just hanging with the bone tissue. So, yeah. We're doing this on Tuesday, so hopefully you're going to be ready for your test, and we'll go back and look at pictures.
Your timing is great.
That is good that we're working out right at the right time.